Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome back to Banner with the Boys Fast Laps. I am Joe. Starting off a little bit differently, we don't have Smeltsy today. Instead, it is just me and our lovely guest slash permanent guest slash co-host, Mike.
Hello. Hi, I'm here again. Welcome, I'm not Smeltsy. Mike.
You're not Smeltsy.
No, believe it or not.
We're going to have to...
I'm in his chair, though.
I mean, we're going to have to kind of, you know... navigate this a little bit
wing
differently.
It.
Right? Wing it. We're winging it a little bit. Yep. It's been a busy day. Smeltsy's gone. He's incredibly busy with work right now. I think you are incredibly busy with work right now. You almost didn't make it.
Yeah.
I'm very busy with work too. The outline is barely done, so it's gonna be an off the cuff one a little bit. And of course, as always, Kevin behind the cameras, behind the mics. He's waving. You can't see it, but I promise he is waving.
And he's smiling. He's happy to be here.
He is happy to be here.
He's happy to be
here. Oh, he's crying. Without further ado, I think we should get into it. We have a little bit to cover.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's do it. Starting off, per usual, I think we should just kind of get into what happened before the race happened. Sometimes I'll have like paragraphs. I'll have like a lot of bullet points. I don't have a ton this time around. The first point I have, Yuki out in Q1 starting in 20th, mm-hmm. just right off the bat. And then Stroll to miss Spain. He's still injured or he had to get into surgery, I think. I think maybe it revolved around his wrists. I know he had a bicycling accident at one point.
This was like a year and a half ago or something like that. Like he was like out bicycling and like got injured and had to go in and get surgery done on his hand and came back maybe sooner than he should have. Mm. Just kept racing, and I guess they're saying that he just exasperated it. And
yeah, I mean, if you don't have something fully healed and you keep working it, it's not going to make it better.
No, it's not, especially not in something as demanding as Formula One, right?
Right, yeah, so I think we should talk a little bit. I don't know if you've heard anything about it, but, you know, what his future looks like, and just for the next coming races, we'll talk about it.
I have lots to talk about.
Jumping into the race, that's all we have for kind of the pre-race banter. Jumping into the race, the starting grid, Piastri, Norris, and Verstappen. Russell, Hamilton, Antonelli Leclerc, Gasly, Hadjar, and then Alonso. A bit of a mix-up the latter half of that. One big noticeable difference near the start, but right off the bat, McLaren 1-2. I mean... Mm-hmm. Did you think that your prediction was you had Piastri first in your prediction?
Right.
I think I had Norris and then I had Piastri on third.
Right.
They're looking very good.
Yeah,
very comfortable.
I think I said it on our last pod that Andrea Stella had came out and commented saying like for everyone hoping that these wing changes are gonna make a big difference. You're looking at the wrong thing.
No, yeah, that's an excellent point. It was right when we had some new changes to the car. And again, just like the rear wing, everyone thought that this would be their downfall, but
yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah. That's, I think like looking at it more, I think a lot of people are kind of narrowing in that their biggest strength right now is probably, their tire management. And that mostly comes from the cooling of their brakes.
Yeah.
They're just way better at cooling their brakes than any other car on the grid.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did we talk about that last pod at all? Their brakes system being kind of like I guess their biggest outlier right now to other teams. It's like they have this like auto cooling kind of like brake feature where like it separates the brakes from the actual wheel, and so DEG is a little bit better for them. I don't think it's like, you know, otherworldly different, but it's enough. Right?
Clearly good enough. Yeah. It was enough that like I know Red Bull was trying to like crack the whip and try to be like, hey, the McLaren guys are cheating. You need to do something about it. And so the FIA like dug into their car to see if they could find some way. And the FIA was like, No, I mean, everything looks good.
Yep. Like, no, yeah, everything looks good. A near perfect, flawless race from Piastri, I would say.
So good.
Norris doing, unfortunately, a little kind of Norris things at the start. He fought hard, I will say, through the first turn. He didn't give it up, but he did lose it immediately, but gained it right back, and then was pretty steady there for the rest of the race.
There's been an ongoing joke I've been seeing across a bunch of different F1 content creators where people are keeping a bottle count, the Norris bottle count. I think our bottle count for the season is up to 19.
Wow.
19 different bottles.
Bottle count.
Yeah, because he keeps on bottling it in different situations, in qualifying or in races. Or
I guess. I feel like this season he's already at 19. Yeah. I feel like that's got to be
this
like...
season.
I don't know. I feel like these creators just are out for Lando. There are some Lando haters out there, and I'm not here for it. I don't know.
One of them is notably a huge McLaren fan. Like, it's his favorite team. Yeah, so...
I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, maybe. He has definitely shown himself doing it in the past, but I feel like he's had a pretty good season. I mean, he's second in drivers. He's only 10 points off of Piastri, but none of us would have expected Piastri to be leading at this point. Currently 50 points off of Max.
Crazy.
49 to be exact, but 50 points off Max. Max is closer to Russell than Verstappen, then Max is closer to Piastri.
Right.
Isn't that insane? And then Russell in fourth, I mean, Mr. Consistently just ending up on the podium, you know?
Yeah. I mean, these... like just so good at just accidentally being there. I had to double check. I was like, wait, was he on the podium? And
no, he wasn't. Just in general, he finds himself there a lot. He's got the points to kind of show it. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of throw it out there. I just kind of want to stay in Piastri just for a second longer. Like, he had an incredible race. Granted, McLarens are known to be kind of a little worse in the dirty air, like other cars. But notably, it seems to affect them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He had clean air, so he stayed in front the entire time. I don't think it was... At any point, was it like a Max level dominance of being like over like 10 seconds or something crazy? Or was he just steadily in front?
I think he was just steadily in front. I don't think it was quite that crazy. I don't remember. We're recording this race the week.
2 weeks,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, after. So a little bit later. So I don't remember the race exactly, but I don't think it was quite that dominant. But to be fair, he did get the Max Verstappen treatment that we saw him take off in corner one and didn't see him until he crossed the finish line.
Yep.
So, I mean, clearly there was that level of dominance that, like, we didn't need to look at him at all.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, he is just, again, proving to everybody why, you know, he is a champion in the making.
Yeah.
Like, very possibly this year.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I'll kind of keep it on McLaren for a second, and then we'll ease ourselves into probably the biggest thing to come out. I mean, I saw the memes. You probably saw them too. It was like lap one and two, everyone kind of cheering. It was really exciting. Mm-hmm. Like two to, what was it? Two to like 60. Yeah, 2 to 63 was like, or 2 to 59 was like boring. And then 60 to 64 was like crazy again.
It's super crazy.
So after that safety car brought out by, I believe, Antonelli, his car just blew up, right?
Yep, just stopped working.
On the restart, we saw Piastri kind of... I mean, that's exactly what happened.
I don't know if you've seen the footage, but literally he was coming up to a corner, and you can hear his car just going... Near, near.
Yep,
and then it just stopped.
Like, silent. and then you see like
cartoon.
Yeah, it's like I obviously not fun to see cars retire, but when you see them retire, I love seeing just the internal explosion kind of happen. Right. Like I remember, I think it was Austria 1 year. Sainz, you could see his back just explode. A bit. Like it, no like huge like explosion outside, but you could see like the bodywork like kind of fatten out a little bit because the engine just killed itself.
So
Antonelli went out. Safety car came out. On the restart, Piastri kind of backed up the field a little bit. Max had a little bit of a moment there. I guess we'll talk about his pit as well. He pit for new tires, and all he had left were hards.
Yep.
Came out complaining about them. And then we saw the restart, and I guess we can kind of get into Max's downfall. Do you want to just kind of run us through it for a second?
Yeah, so he pits for the hards, and even like they called him in for the pit. Like right when he was coming up to the pit lane. So there was no time for him to say, wait, why are we pitting? What tire are we putting on? What's going on? It was basically just Max, get in the pit now. And he just trusted GP, trusted his pit wall, got in the pit, pulled out, and literally wasn't even out of the pit lane before he got on his comms and was like, wait, are these hards? Did you guys put hards on my car? And went out and basically just went through the race restart. Coming through that final corner into the pit straight, lost some traction.
Yep.
Fishtailed.
I mean, a beautiful recovery.
Such a good recovery.
He was like, almost perpendicular. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, so good. Like, incredible that he saved that car. He should have spun out.
Definitely.
But, yeah, it did just completely open the door for Charles Leclerc behind him to make a charge on him. He did try to defend it. It did look like he might have tapped Charles Leclerc, but it wasn't enough to damage either car. And Charles got the position, so there's no reason to make anything out of it.
Yep.
And then he had to struggle with Russell coming up behind him. And they fought into turn one, where Russell kind of shoved him out, like jetted him off the track. And so he took that runoff that so many drivers were doing at the race.
Russell took the runoff, I believe, right?
No, Max took the runoff. Max took the runoff to come ahead of Russell.
Oh, okay. You're right.
And he came ahead of Russell. And because of that, the team got on the radio and said, you need to give that position back. Yep. And Max was like, why? I don't need to. And they GP said, just give it back. Don't fight it. Just give it back. And Max was just not having it. Already upset that he lost the position because he was on the wrong tires. Upset that he pit to begin with and they put him on hards. And then this happens as well when he was pretty confident that he didn't need to give that position back. So he might have let loose a little bit and crashed into Russell on turn, I think it's 7. Somebody can correct me, but
no one's going to correct you here. Yeah, I think it's around that around that turn, the turn before the kind of the straight that goes into the longer straight,
yep.
A little uphill. Yeah, yeah, and that was kind of like the biggest question coming out of the race. I mean, like to the viewer, to us, it was like that was intentional. He just rammed him. Yep. But kind of in the paddock, how it was looked at, how it had to be looked at, it was just like, was that on purpose? If it was, he should probably get a bit more of a punishment for it versus maybe he thought that he wanted to give the place, but then he didn't, so he made a bad move. So it was like, just like,
who was,
like what his intention was. And of course, Max beautifully during interviews doesn't give anything away.
I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah, doesn't give a single thing away. So like, still kind of up in the air. He does end up with a 10-second penalty,
which kicks him back to 10th.
Yep. And I think we were like looking at it just like if he had, well, no, yeah, he kicks him back to 10th. Yep.
Yeah. And what was my comment that I had on it just a second ago? My brain is farting. I do know that after I think it was about a week ago, a little while after the race, a few days after the race, Max did actually come out and make a formal apology on, I think, Instagram. And it was him saying that, you know, that was not professional. You know, I shouldn't have done that. La di da. It wasn't the best apology he could have made. It was kind of on the side. Kevin's pulling it up on screen right now for us.
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
but it's better than we would have expected out of Max.
I didn't take him. I think he took accountability for the issue, for like the error he made. He definitely didn't say that he intentionally did it, and I don't think we got like a crazy apology. We had an exciting strategy and good race in Barcelona till the safety car came out. Our tire choice to the end and some moves after the safety car restart fueled my frustration, leading to a move that was not right and shouldn't have happened. I always give everything out there for the team, and emotions can run high. You win some together, you lose some together. See you in Montreal. So no real apology per se,
but
he did say that the move he made was a bad move.
Right.
Didn't say he intentionally tried hurting Russell, just said that it was not a good move.
Yes.
Which is really, I mean, that's PR at its finest, right?
Yep, fair enough.
And it's good that he addressed it.
He did take accountability for it. He said, I was frustrated and I made a bad move.
He did.
Which is, like I said, for Max Verstappen, more than he usually gives.
Yeah.
Like, ordinarily.
Which is nothing.
Ordinarily he makes a move like that, and people want to complain about it. He just says, I don't want to talk about
it. I mean, I'd say we got growth from him, right? I mean, the earliest image of him I can paint in my mind is him pushing Ocon after the issue they had on track.
Yeah, right.
Now he's a dad. He has to, I mean, he's still making crazy moves on track. But, you know, he's a little bit more calm about it. He just doesn't talk. He's going the silent route, which I can respect. I don't care if I don't love all the journalists anyway.
And the journalists want to create drama. So,
yeah, definitely. Before we move on from Max, I just want to kind of ask then, obviously he was under pressure on track. Is it getting to him? I feel like we've seen this in the past where like he gets under pressure and he starts making really really aggressive moves. We saw it with Lando last year a good couple times. Right. Like, is it just when he's put in a really bad spot, he starts to crumble a little bit?
You know, he might have, so I feel like he does have a little bit of that rage, and it's gamer rage.
It is gamer rage.
It is literally gamer rage. I was listening to a different podcast earlier who literally one of the people in the podcast was saying that they say that move on George Russell is literally something you see out of a sim racing game.
Yeah.
And they're like, probably because Max is a sim racer. He did what he would have done in a sim racing game and crashed into him.
He did what Max sometimes does do in a sim racing game. Yeah.
We've seen him do it. Like, I've seen the streams. Like, so, yeah, I mean, it was probably just a lapse of judgment. He got angry and, you know... I've seen some people, and I'm kind of, I assume I know what your take on this is going to be, but I've seen some people on like Reddit and Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that who've made some comments saying that Max's reaction and the way he acted doing that to Russell is a champion mindset. And they're recalling it to like say, like, look at Michael Schumacher or Ayrton Senna or Niki Lauda. These were drivers that would always shunt other drivers off the track and push drivers off and make these super aggressive moves. And these guys are champions.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to let that define a champion.
Yeah, right.
So was Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, we don't see Hamilton.
I don't think Hamilton ever intentionally did something like that, to at least to my knowledge. Like,
I mean, I'm sure he probably has.
And also, those are really old drivers where, like, things were a little bit more lenient back then. Still not good to do, but
things
like
were different,
you know,
back then. Very
like it
different.
Was like high. I mean, it still is high drama, big entertainment when we see it now. But like, it was like more so the norm, I would say.
It was more dangerous back then.
It was more dangerous.
There's more a point of safety nowadays.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Doing something
definitely.
Like what Max did is very
it's
unsafe.
Like, yeah, if it ever came out that was 100% intentional, and I don't think they'll look into it because I don't think anyone wants this to happen, he would get bans, like, straight up.
Straight
probably.
Up, yeah. I mean, I think Rosberg was the one who was calling for a black flag on him.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like a commentator. He was sitting here. He goes, he needs to be DQ'd for that. We need to black flag him. That is unacceptable.
Yep. Instead, demoted to P10, 1 point, and enough points on his license that one more and he gets a race ban.
Yes, sir. Which is
and
exciting.
If that happens, I mean... Do they bring Liam back up? Do they try Hadjar out? Can they even do that, or do they get a reserve driver in?
Red Bull actually has already commented saying the fact that, to address, like, fans wondering, they say that they've stated the fact that they are likely going to bring Hadjar up to the new car. At that point, they've got the chance to benchmark to Yuki.
Yeah.
And then they get to have a benchmark to Yuki and Hadjar both in the Red Bull.
Yuki should be scared of that moment.
Because if Hadjar comes in and really lights it up in the Red Bull, they don't have a real reason to keep him around.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, put him back in the V-carb and then you got Hadjar.
I absolutely agree with you.
So.
Right.
Ferrari.
I mean, P3 for Leclerc. Is that his... best? No, he got P2 in Monaco, right?
Monaco, yeah.
Obviously wanting to get higher up there, but
back-to-back podiums,
which is the best we've seen Ferrari all year so far. Hamilton not super far behind in sixth, picking up that extra place once Max got demoted, which is nice.
A little bit of a more rough race for Hamilton, I think.
It seems to be kind of it's becoming a thing.
Yeah, I think he's still acclimating to the car. I know I've been seeing a bunch of people talking about like, oh, well, is Hamilton actually washed, or how much time do we need to give Hamilton to learn the car? And like, yeah, I get that he's a multi-time world champion, but we also need to remember that he has his entire F1 career only driven with Mercedes power unit.
Yep.
Because prior to Mercedes, he drove for McLaren, which was a Mercedes power unit.
Yeah.
And so this was before they were, I think they were Renault before they were Mercedes. But during Hamilton's time, they were Mercedes.
Always Mercedes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he has literally only ever driven for a Mercedes power unit. So this is very different for him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be some adjusting. I think it's fine. He's still picking up points. He's still doing a pretty good job. And he would have held sixth if it weren't for the fact that... the car ahead of him had newer tires.
Yep.
So, and we'll talk about that once we get there.
We'll talk about that very shortly.
So excited to talk about
that very shortly. Mercedes, Russell in fourth. Good placement for Mercedes. You know, very acceptable where they need to be. Unfortunately, a more bad luck for them as well with Antonelli, you know, his car exploding. Yep. Not much else to say about Mercedes. Clean race out there until the very end where he had that bit with Max. But
I think Kimi was up in the points. Wasn't he using like eighth or something like that?
He was. Yeah. I mean, he was definitely competing. Yeah.
So he was in the points, which is like
he started in
pretty good showing.
Yeah. He started in what is 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th. He started 6th.
Sure. Yeah. So I think he might have dropped positions, but like c'est la vie. Like he's still in the points. And then his car exploded.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going in order of the finishing grid, do you know who's next?
Yes, I
do. And this is just so everyone, in case you haven't watched it, you should watch it. At least watch the first two laps and then the last five. And then maybe catch a highlights. Highlights. I think highlights do it well for you. Hulkenberg, and that's Hulkenberg in a Kick Sauber in fifth place. Before you go off. There was a question you asked me after one of our recording nights. Yep. You said, if Hulkenberg was in a better car, would he consistently be competing for podiums? And I said, I don't think so.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. This kind of turned me around a little bit.
He's been so good. Like, ever since he came back, this is his third season back, right? Ever since he's come back, entirely different driver. Entirely different. The way he's been racing has been masterclass, given the fact that he's driving boats.
Yep.
Like a Haas, the 2023 Haas, the 2024 Haas obviously was better, and we saw him consistently scoring points and consistently fighting his way up and like just great performances. And now in a Sauber, the first fifth place finish for Sauber since I think I heard like I think it was like 2008. So it's been a long time since Sauber has been this high up, and he got them there.
Yeah.
And it was mostly due to merit, because I remember halfway through the race looking down and commenting, is that Nico Hulkenberg in 10th? Are we going to see a Sauber in points? What is happening? And then he just kept climbing and climbing and climbing, and then there's the infamous clip of him overtaking Lewis Hamilton on the last lap.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. I literally stood up out of my chair cheering when I saw him overtake Lewis. Yeah. I was so excited.
I watched it late because I was out of town, but I was on voice chat with you, and there was just a moment where I was like, Hulkenberg? Because I don't think I was watching him the whole race, but like he was slowly just making his way.
All of a sudden, you're like, wait, is that? And he started 15th.
Yeah. It was a crazy drive. It was an insane drive.
And yet somehow he didn't get driver of the day.
No, Max did. And then Max got demoted to 10th.
To 10th, which is hilarious. You know,
which was like, it's funny because I think if he didn't have that penalty, I probably would have understood more. But like, you know, voting was so late and the crash was so late.
To everyone, yeah. Well, by the time voting had ended, by the time
voting ends on like the last, like at the last lap.
Did it?
It does, yeah. But it was like, I mean, most votes are in at that point. Yeah. He would need like a whole other country to start voting.
I was talking to our mutual friend about this, and like, him and I were talking about it, and he's like, oh, well, you know, Max was having a great race though up to that point. And I was like, yeah, but Max didn't drive 15th to 6th. Which then obviously Nico got promoted to 5th because of Max's penalty, but still.
That's still 6th. I would be just as astonished at 6th. Yeah.
In a Sauber.
That's crazy. In a Sauber. Yeah, it's a insane, insane race for Hulkenberg and Sauber. It puts them, I mean, still not high. It puts them in 8th, but they're level with Aston Martin. They're above Alpine, and they're 10 points from Haas right now. Like,
right.
I mean, more points they had last year, right? And the year before, I think.
I think together.
Yeah. Anything else just from his race that you want to kind of call out?
Other quick thing that I did want to talk about from Sauber.
Yeah.
So this race, or actually I think it was the race before. I think they might have brought it to Monaco. But since coming to Europe, Kick Sauber brought a huge upgrade package.
I wanted to talk about this too. Yeah.
And they upgraded the heck out of their car. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing the fruits of their labor. And I'm really curious if you think that this is going to be something that we're seeing more consistently going forward, if maybe the Sauber is picking up more points or if this is just a one-time fluke. obviously fifth is probably a fluke.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to see him.
Tenth.
I don't think we're going to see him get into fifth again. But Bortoleto in 12th. Oh my gosh, Bortoleto in 12th. There's a lot of L's.
Yeah.
I is still not bad. He really good, honestly.
Qualied, was it 15th?
He qualied. Oh,
no. Yeah, he qualied. Qualifying. I think 15th. And I think
Bortoleto started.
He was at the bottom. 12th.
So he kept position.
Yeah, so he kept position, yeah.
Which is honestly, like, for a rookie in the worst car in the grid, yeah. You know, like that's, I still rate it, you know?
Yeah.
So back to your question, I do not see them getting into fifth again unless something crazy were to happen.
Yeah.
I think enough kind of chaos-ish stuff happened in this race to allow him to get into that place. Plus, he just drove in an excellent race.
Yeah, with great strategy.
I do expect them with this upgrade, or at least I hope that they start fighting for the last point position.
Yes.
That's all I can really ask from them at this point, mm-hmm. is that one point.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, getting that enough times and you're beating teams, honestly. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
I do also need to make sure that I get my jabs in on you, too, because I do believe in our first episode of the pod, where I had made a comment about Nico Hülkenberg scoring points, and you and Smelty, God, I wish Smelty were here. Smelty, you're going to hear this. That you guys both looked at me like I was crazy because I said Nico Hülkenberg was going to score points this season. And I was like, I think he'll score some points. And then he scored points in the first race, and you guys were like, it's a fluke. He won't do it again. And here he is in fifth.
I think we need to get a replay on that. Okay. I don't think we said he wasn't going to score points.
Chat, run it back.
I didn't think we said he was going to not score points. I just think... We thought it was crazy for... I think you said consistently score points.
No, I just said he's going to score a few points across the season.
Listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll eat my words now, but I don't... It doesn't sound like me to say he wouldn't score points
ever. You'll be hearing about this later.
I'm
going
to go back to that rate. I'm going to go back to that pod, and I'll send you a letter with a formal apology, and
we'll kind of go from there. I expect it on my desk by midnight.
Gotcha. all right. We talked about Ferrari already. Seventh, Racing Bulls Hadjar.
Crazy, this guy.
Yeah. Honestly, he's Kevin's favorite Red Bull driver, I guess. we've said it before, he's the best rookie out there, I think.
I think it's between him and Antonelli, and given the fact that Antonelli is in just an objectively better car, like...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Antonelli is definitely competing, but like if Antonelli were at Hadjar's level, Antonelli would be fighting for podiums consistently, I feel like, with the Racing Bull and the state that it's in.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you wonder, like, we know that the Red Bull is it's just a flawed car, right? The second seat is a little bit cursed. No one else can really drive it but Max. At some point, if Hadjar keeps performing like this, I know they've already said they're not going to swap Yuki out, but like, maybe it's worth doing once or twice. Yeah.
In constructors, Hadjar is only 27 points behind Antonelli.
How is he compared to... that's fine. How does he compare to Yuki is what I'm curious.
To Yuki? Where is Yuki? He's above Yuki.
He's above Yuki.
Tsunoda is currently in 15th with 10 points. Isaac Hadjar is in ninth with 21 points.
I can understand not wanting to, because I wouldn't want to either. I don't want to swap the Red Bull drivers anymore.
But I think
they should seriously be considering for next year, right?
I think Red Bull's biggest problem, and we see them do this over and over and over again, is they rush their rookies into the seat.
Yeah.
And the other Red Bull seat just eats them up. And so... we finally have a rookie that we gave some seasons to grow and develop in Yuki Tsunoda, and then we put him in that other seat. Obviously, that's not working really well right now, but that's mostly due to the car just not being copacetic to the second driver. Hadjar, I think we put him in that other car, he's going to have the exact same problems.
You're probably right.
And all it's going to do is it's just going to ruin his career. I think we just take some time, give him his experience, let him continue racing with Racing Bulls, and just build this experience through all these races and let him grow. We already see this much experience. What happens in 3 years? Give Yuki maybe 2 years with this Red Bull and let Yuki kind of skirt by. And if Hadjar is still performing, then pull Hadjar up.
So fundamentally, I think you're absolutely correct. But that's not how the Red Bull machine goes, baby.
God, I hate that you're right.
That's not how the Red Bull machine goes, and you know it too. All right, Hadjar 2026.
Oh my God, please.
Replacing Max. Ugh. Max is going to Mercedes.
Oh my God, Aston Martin.
Yeah,
Max to Aston.
No, I truly do think though. Like, I mean, I just feel like Red Bull and their drivers, except for Max, obviously, because they hit the gold mine with Max, yep. Right? Every single other driver is just in for a painful, painful career at the moment.
Yeah.
Because you're either Liam and you're stuck in reserve driver until you finally get your shot, and then you're demoted back to the sister team, and you don't succeed.
Yep.
Or you become Hadjar, and he might be in for a fate such as Yuki, where right. He's just in that team forever.
He becomes the new benchmark.
Yes.
Because, of course, then you've also got the up-and-coming Arvid Lindblad yes. in F2, who is, I think, performing pretty well in F2.
I think he's only F3 right now. Oh, is he in F2?
I'm pretty
sure
he's in
F3. Last year
he was in F3.
He had
last
a very
year, yes.
very quick
yes
he had
step
an incredibly
up, yes.
quick step. I have him in news. We'll talk about him for a second.
Okay, awesome.
But yeah, once again, and I saw that and I was like, once again, their cup runneth over with drivers.
Yep.
And you're just putting yourself in for a bad time.
Yep.
So Hadjar 7th, better than Lawson in 11th. Again, disappointing. I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
Yep.
In 8th, Gasly. Smelty. Weird. All right, I guess we're moving on. In 9th, we have Alonso. Alonso in 9th.
He got points. At his home race.
He got points at his home race. Wait, was it really 9th? Yeah. It was 9th.
Yeah.
He got homes at his...
Let's go!
That's awesome.
I should have worn my Aston hat.
Two points, yeah. You know what? That's more points than I think...
That is 200% more points than he had across the season. Yeah, actually, still... that math's not even right, because he was at 0.
Yeah, he was at... Yeah, it's not right. Yeah, you're right. It's not right.
It's not right.
It's not right.
But yes,
you know, so he pushes Aston Martin to 16 points, still getting beat by Kick technically, because yep. Kick had the bigger leap.
Yep.
Because Kick
has had a better finish.
Yes.
Because Aston has never been up to 5th place. So because Kick has had the higher finish across the season, Kick is ahead in Constructors.
Yes.
That's how they measure that.
That is true. Williams, Albon with, did Albon crash or did he have a car issue? It's been a while.
I thought he crashed, right? Because he took wind. Yeah, because he took wind damage in lap one, didn't he? And then he was racing later and then
no,
he like.
No, he took a. No, you're right.
Yeah, he took wind damage, and then he went back out and then took wind damage again to Lawson or something.
I don't think he took wind damage. So
he took wind damage a second time, and then they were like, yeah, just retire the car.
Albon picks up wing damage after being overtaken by Lawson. He's told to box to retire, but he gets a 10-second penalty while he's in the box.
Yes.
So they send him out to serve that penalty, and correct. Then he retires directly after.
Yes.
I don't remember the time beforehand. I don't have it noted, at least. But either way, he had a penalty, so he just... Yeah. Yeah, he had a penalty, so he ended his race that way. Not a great race for Williams. Not in the form that I was at least hoping that they would be in.
Right.
You know, I wanted them to keep getting into the points, but...
Hey, you know what? They're still 5th or 6th. They're still 6th and pretty safe in 6th. Cause
no, your team is right behind them.
What are you talking about?
No, wait. No, Williams is in 5th currently.
Oh, Williams is in 5th. I'm sorry. They are pretty safely in 5th. Yes, they are pretty safely in 5th. Yes.
Speaking of your team, though, they're the last that we have on here. Haas. What do you have to say for yourself? Why are you wearing that hat?
I like this hat.
It's a good hat. Yeah, it's a good hat. It tastes a little sour right now.
Yeah, it was a tough triple header.
It fits a little poorly.
It was a tough triple header. Life moves on. I don't know. They actually had commented that they were expecting troubles in
Europe.
This track. So yeah, well, not Europe in a whole. I think they're gonna do well in a couple of these tracks. But yeah, they did say that. They were expecting some difficulties on this track especially, so I'm not too surprised. We are down to 7th. We fell down to 7th behind Z-Carb.
You did.
So,
2 points.
Yeah. So that sucks, but still very doable. V-Carb really only has one driver that's scoring them points, and he's not Max Verstappen. So as long as both of our drivers can keep hitting points every now and then, like there's a good chance we can... catch up to V-Carb and reclaim ourselves in 6th. I think I'm happy enough with Haas in 6th. So it is what it is.
I'm glad you're happy. That's all that matters when it comes to Haas. Your happiness.
You know, it's great to see them falling back down. Consistency is key.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's
consistently
all
bad, but
yeah, unfortunately. That's all I had for the race. Any other tidbits you want to bring up for the race before we get into comms?
No, I think we can just go jump into comms.
Let's jump into comms. Do you have any you want to call out? I have four.
I actually think that I had one.
You did have one.
Yeah.
I usually
don't keep track of comms. That's what, you know.
I do. Ever since we started this, I've started keeping track of them because I love them. They're just really good this year. I'm sure they've always been good.
So it was the comment between Max and GP when...
Yes. Yeah.
So Max, driving out of the pit, said, now, what the... expletive are these tires? And GP came back and said, so these are hards, Max.
That's good.
And I love how sassy GP is. Yep. He is so freaking
GP's
funny.
Yeah, there was just I remember the point, I think it was like before last year, where he was, you know, he was his race engineer and he was very calm and collected, and last year he was like, I'm not putting up with anything.
Yeah. I'm done getting bullied.
Yeah, it's like during the winter they just had like a really like a bro like connection, like a bro moment, and he's like, I'm just gonna say my mind. Or maybe Max was like, yeah, just say your mind on the radio, I can take it.
They probably got like really drunk together.
Maybe. Like, we're just making like fiction, yeah. fiction stories.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah. F1 fantasy.
My fanfic.
Fanfic GP and Max just hanging out. Okay. I have a couple of them. Lap three. This is after George had some struggles behind some people. These explicitives are moving out of braking today. What is going on? Toto got onto the horn right after and said, George, concentrate.
George, concentrate.
Yep. Lap 33, we had a Max quote. This was in reference to a quote he said last weekend.
Oh, yes,
the weekend beforehand,
this.
Rather. Max, it's again like I have no clutch while upshifting. GP responds, 1973. Max, yeah, maybe 74 now.
I love their banter. It's so
it's
funny.
It's really, really good. When they're not arguing with each other like
a domesticated couple.
Yeah.
Even that's funny. Because most times you hear like the driver just pushes their engineer around, but GP just doesn't take it.
Yep. Yeah, no. And then I have I had the one that you had about Max on lap 55. The last one I have is Hamilton. During the safety car, and he's mentioned this before. In reference to the safety car, they do love wasting laps waiting for it to end.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I've seen him a couple times get a little irritated with the safety car staying out too long.
Speaking, you jogged my brain since you brought up Lewis. Did you see the post-race interviews at all?
I watched a couple for the Max incident.
Right, of course.
I did not watch the others, though.
Okay, so Lewis went up like... they're like right after the race, they're just standing right outside the pit, whatever, and they talk to a commentator, share a few words, and then they go on their way, right?
Yeah.
They went and talked to Lewis, and they tried talking to him, and I think that was the coldest, least interested, just very clearly. He was
dejected.
I remember
this now.
And like just kind of upset.
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Yep.
Goodbye.
He was like, yeah, what do you want to say? It wasn't a good race. I'm not in a good mood. That's it.
Yeah. I was like,
it was a bad day. Like
I was like, wow. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I would probably be a little upset too if I got overtaken by a Sauber, but
yeah. Finishing sixth, yeah. I mean, if you're Lewis Hamilton, I guess sixth really is never good enough.
No,
fifth isn't good enough. Fourth isn't good enough,
especially with all of the pressure on him from like moving to Ferrari and
Yep.
So yeah, I just saw that. I thought that was interesting. I was gonna bring that up too because I was like, man, what is going on with Lewis? He's got a little bit of an attitude right now.
Yeah. I think that's all we had for the Spain. It's a hard track to overtake on, but I love it. I'm really happy they're not replacing it next year.
Same. That is confirmed now. We have Barcelona coming back next year.
Yes, we have Spain next year. I do have the calendar on our news segment, which is coming up next. We will talk about it.
Right.
But very happy that we keep Spain. I think I mentioned this before on the game, probably the best track for me, at least.
I love Spain.
So happy to see that's coming back. Hopefully we'll get a bit more, or we'll get the same level at least of excitement that we got this year.
Yeah.
Maybe spread out a little bit during the race, but I overall can't complain, especially after Monaco. Can't complain.
I don't know. I felt like the race overall was enjoying. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was my favorite out of the triple header, I think. So
yeah. I would agree. All right. With that, Kev, let's get into news. All right. Banter with the Boys does F1 News. I don't know. Well, we're getting to news now. That was my Ron Burgundy. I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
First little tidbit here. I have, this is your words, maybe Canada. And that's, I think that's what kind of got me on this little question mark thing.
News?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So, and I think you were hearing some similar stuff. So, there is a very real possibility that we might not even be racing in Canada this weekend. There are a lot of wildfires going on in the Montreal area, and it is getting really close to Montreal to the point that it is reducing visibility and air quality.
I saw photos of the track. It's already there.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty bad. And in fact, the Montreal area is currently listed as the worst air quality in the world. And so there's concerns about safety for the drivers and the pit crew, as well as with visibility and just how well it's going to show on TV if, like, everything is smoky and hazy.
Yeah.
How good is it going to look? Is it even worth it? And then there's all the particulates in the air from everything burning around them that could potentially damage the vehicles, these vehicles that are so sensitive in dirty air, and now everything is dirty air.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Really good weather. It's obviously, it's not good. It's really bad. It's really bad, obviously. Yeah. It's horrible. We get affected by it. We don't, obviously, we're not crushed. We're not devastated by it, but we see the smoke. We're local Minnesotans, so we see the smoke climb down from Canada quite often.
Yep.
It would, what I was trying to say was, like, would make really good photos when they're at the track, but you're right, it might not make good racing.
I'm just imagining poorly cropped pictures of Lewis Hamilton passing Max with fire behind him.
See, I'm imagining different. I'm imagining it's just like a slate of, like, or like a wall of smoke, and then a McLaren just drives through it. Yeah, it looks sick, but yeah, probably dangerous. So we should hear soon if it's canceled. I haven't seen anything official, right?
So far, we're business as usual.
Yep. Speaking of Canada, our Canadian Stroll, has not been confirmed that he will be there, has not confirmed that he will not yet. If he's not, who takes over for him?
Dale Porcher is driving in Le Mans.
That's happening the same weekend.
Yep, same weekend. And Dale Porcher will be racing in Le Mans, so he will not be available as their reserve driver. So their other option, Valtteri Bottas is accessible to every Mercedes Works team as a reserve driver.
I'd love to see him get back on track.
We could get to see Valtteri Bottas.
I want to see him get back on track and score the most points Aston Martin has seen this year.
There has been some rumblings that Lance could just be coming back.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I think that's a bad idea, not just for, like as a Lance hater.
Lance is worried if they put in a reserve driver in his place, they're just going to keep the reserve driver.
Not Lance, but I think Aston is probably a little concerned about the optics of what happens if they do replace Lance for a race and reserve driver turns out to do really, really good. He puts himself in fifth. And then what happens? Then how are they going to fight off all of the people who are trying to claim that Lance needs to get out and that he's holding the team back?
I mean, in my opinion, they're fighting that all the time already. I don't think it's going to matter. It's not going to change anything. They don't address it ever, right?
I mean, yes, but they don't. Like, we as viewers and fans don't have benchmarks that we can directly take because we can only trust their benchmarks that they give us from their data. But if we see Valtteri Bottas get in that car and put up fast laps and really, really send it,
at that point, you should be more worried for Alonso, probably.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Stroll is the, he's the owner of the team, right?
Yes. So, and he is still the major owner, but he doesn't have as much authority as he used to between Adrian Newey being a partial owner as well as the team being partially bought out by Saudi. So Saudi's got a pretty large stake in the team now as well. And so a lot of Lawrence's like power that he has over the team is waning. And so
it's waning, but I mean, I don't think Stroll's going anywhere.
I don't either.
I think like it's heavy. It's probably heavy in Lawrence's contract that my son drives this car
until he doesn't want.
Until he doesn't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
I think my other big thing is I think they shouldn't put him in, not because I don't want Lance there. Like,
because he should recover.
But yeah, it's because he should recover. Yep. Like, Lawrence, you watch our show. I know you do.
It's his favorite show.
It's his favorite show, obviously. Like, just give your son the time to heal. Like, as a father, you should want your son to heal. Like, don't force him into the car any sooner than you have to. Force him to injure his wrist any worse. Like, if he goes back too soon after a surgery and gets in an F1 car, he could ruin his wrist even more. And it could affect him for the rest of his life. So just give him time to recover. Get like Danny Ricciardo. Give him some time. Let him come back. Who cares? Like, and then give Theo Pourchaire some time to actually drive an F1 car, and then hopefully go to Cadillac.
Theo Pourchaire is not coming back to F1. No, he's just gonna ruin it.
No, Theo Pourchaire is never coming to F1. He's never been here.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna be like that.
Yeah.
I agree. I think, I mean, even like all thoughts aside, he shouldn't race if he's still recovering.
Yeah.
I would love to see Bottas in the car. They could put no one in the car. They could just not run. It'd be weird for them not to.
I think there are some rules about needing both cars to at least qualify.
Maybe. Well, it's a race. You have to qualify to race. I don't think you have to have the car in.
I don't know. We'd have to look into that. I thought they had some rule about that.
Maybe. We could look into
something,
it.
Something from back a long time ago that they made.
All right, calendar. So today they released the F1 calendar, and they did make some changes with it. More so, we're still kind of going all over the place here and there, but there are some notable differences that bring places together more. To call some out, Canada is now right after Miami.
Yep.
Spain, Austria, UK, Belgium, Hungary, Netherlands, Italy, Spain again. So we had the two Spains kind of on opposite ends of the calendar a little bit,
right.
About a month or so apart. So it's a little bit more bunched up in the places that we're going, which is good. It's, you know,
the goal. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's the biggest factor to how to get to zero emissions.
Yep.
Madrid is replacing Imola. I don't think you loved Imola.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Imola.
I like Imola. I don't think it produces really great racing, but I like the track.
Right.
So I'm a little sad to see that go, especially since things I've seen of Madrid are not promising. So I'm not like, we'll see though. We'll see.
I won't hold it against it until I see it.
Vegas was going to be bad, but I actually really enjoy that track too. It's a really good racing track.
Yeah.
But Madrid doesn't look amazing, so we'll see what happens. I'm not going to run through the list. You guys know the only differences is that Imola's gone, Madrid replaces it, and then some changes here and there in terms of the order.
I know. So basically, we're going Australia to the Middle East. Do a couple races there, and then we're going to America, right? For like,
we go Australia, China, Japan, and then Middle East.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about Asia. Yeah, so we go hit those Asian nations, and then we come to America, do those races, and then we go to Europe, and we're knocking all of our European races out in one fell swoop.
Yeah,
and then we, I think, come back to the United States for. For what? COTA, Mexico, Vegas, and then back to the Middle East to finish
after
it out?
We go to Baku. So we go to Madrid, and then we're at Baku, and then we go to Singapore, and then we're in Austin, Mexico, Brazil, Vegas, Qatar, and then Abu Dhabi.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So yeah. Just, yeah. Generally, we're trying to keep things in the same area.
Yep.
So yeah.
Which is it's how it should
and
be.
And I know there's a lot of European fans that are very excited because it means that all of the European races are all happening clumped up together and everything like that.
I'd be okay if like our three U.S. races happened all at the same time.
Yeah, I'm cool.
I'm fine with that. Yeah,
that sounds great to me. Yeah.
Stick Canada in there, you know?
Yeah, why not?
Canada's really early, you know? I guess it's May 22nd, so it's
but that's May 22nd
this time.
In Montreal.
It's a bit north.
We can get
probably
snow
cold,
and stuff.
Right?
A bit cold.
Maybe a bit cold.
Just imagine that we're out here and these guys are having to go race in like 40 degree temperatures.
It's a real possibility. 30. I mean, we're getting, it's
like
it's June 10th and we still get our, you know, mid 50 days.
That's like, so. If my math is right, that's like 4 or 5 degrees Celsius for our European fans. Like that's pretty darn cold.
Sound off in the comments, European fans.
Yeah. Sound off in the comments.
Wow, that was crazy. You were spot on. We just did a quick fact checking. Yeah, that was really
pretty
good
with my Celsius calculations.
So. That was really good. Right. Our last bit of news, Arvid Lindblad.
Arvid Lindblad.
Okay, I misspelled it here.
We'll get it.
I said Lindblad. I'm so sorry. Arvid Lindblad. What do you know about him? I mean, I from what I've read, he was like karting as early as 2021. He was in karting, and then he jumped into F4, and then he was immediately placed in F3.
Yep.
And now he's in F2 as of right now.
He is Helmut Marko's prayer for Max Verstappen to Electric Boogaloo. Mm. He's been making big steps forward, making a big name for himself, and we're just really hoping that he's going to be the next generational talent, which I guess I hold out reservations on. I did the same thing with Kimi when he came in. Everybody was like, he's just the Italian Max Verstappen. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, show me some results.
Yep.
So I'll do the same with Arvid. We'll see
what happens. Yeah.
I'm assuming we'll see him in F1 at least within the next 2 years.
Yeah, I did read that the FIA did just approve him to race in F1, and he's only 17 currently.
Correct.
So.
Yep.
It could happen. It's been a really, really quick turnaround time for him, though. So
yeah, which is just like, man, just get the kids some time to practice, man.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Max to know if he had a very similar kind of pathway where he was just like, I don't think he went from karting to F1 within 3 years, but like,
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But he definitely did move up fast. But I think he went through all the normal channels. It was just like he would spend 1 year in a season. He was just,
yep.
And like he was karting, and then he finally got to Formula. I think he might have even skipped Formula 4. I think he went straight to Formula 3.
I thought I read that he was in Formula 4, but I could
maybe
be
he
wrong.
Wasn't. I don't know. I'm like you. I don't really follow Max very much.
He was in 20. So coming mid 2022. So Lindblad signed to the Red Bull Junior program in 2021, still racing karts recently as 2022. He rose sharp since then. Coming mid 2022, he stepped up to Formula Racing by taking part in a host of Formula 4 series.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2023, taking part in Italian UAE Euro series before taking part in the Formula 1 edition of the Macau Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was placed in Formula 3 as a 16-year-old in 2024. So he's in F2 right now?
I believe he's in F2.
Okay. Yeah, he's...
He's zooming.
Yes.
I think they, and I
he
think
is,
they
he was
him.
He was promoted to F2 for the 2025 season.
Yeah, and I believe they moved him up to F2 so that he could acquire the necessary super license points to be able to race in Formula 1 as soon as possible, because Helmut Marko cannot choose one child.
He's already listed as a test driver for Racing Bulls.
Yep.
He took part in his maiden F1 test in Imola in February, driving the 2023 AlphaTauri. He got points very early on in F2. Yeah, he's making moves.
Okay.
He's on the right direction. Unfortunately, he's part of the Red Bull program, so wait for a seat to open.
Doomed to fail.
Yeah.
So I did go check it up because this was bothering me. Max did jump straight to Formula 3.
Okay.
So, yeah. Max went from junior division straight to Formula 3, did a season in F3, a season in F2, and then went from F2 straight to Toro Rosso.
Sounds
we
right.
We know where the rest goes from there.
Yeah, we sure do. Sounds right. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for him. The next Isaac Hadjar, possibly the next Max Verstappen.
He's
doomed to stay a test driver for the length of forever.
Oh, that was a thought that I had earlier. You
they
brought
could
up,
kick Liam.
He brought up, I mean, probably kick Liam. That was a thought that I had earlier was a comparison of Isaac Hadjar and how well he's doing. I don't view Isaac Hadjar necessarily as a future world champion per se. It's still a little early to say, and I don't like arguing that sort of stuff in somebody in their first season.
Yeah.
But the way he holds himself and the way that he races, the closest analogy I see to him as a driver is I could see Hadjar be the next Lando Norris. Mm. A driver that's really, really good, but maybe not quite at that same top echelon, I think. Sure. As somebody like a Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, that's fair.
So just like a very, very talented driver, and like good chance we see him winning races in 5 years.
I hope so. That'd be nice. Yeah.
So I don't know if you had any disputes on that or not, if you feel the same, but
I don't see him yet. I agree. It's interesting. I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't really even see Piastri as like a WDC. Like, I've never seen him that way. But
I do now.
I 100% do now. It's still I still see Norris more of one than Piastri, but I know Piastri is more. I think Piastri is in more of a place to win it. I think Piastri will win it, actually, I'll say.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think because the whole reason this came up was because of like, it was after the whole like champion mindset with Max thing. And I did, like, I was like thinking about it where I was like, I feel like Lando's biggest struggle he has, because Lando has incredible racecraft, right? But I think Lando's biggest problem is his mindset. Lando struggles with his head too much. He just gets under his own skin too much and things like that. And that really gets in his way. And like when he isn't getting under his own skin and he isn't getting in his own head, just phenomenal racing from the guy. Just top tier racing. But that's something that he's still trying to get over, is that mindset problem that you don't see out of Oscar. Oscar just gets out and just gets to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people make jokes that he's a robot. And, like,
he is, yeah. I like that about him, though, to be fair.
I do too. I love Oscar. Yeah. Like, so I don't know. I see that, and I'm like, I see Oscar as more of a world champion now than I do Lando, which feels really bad to say.
Yeah. Well, he deserves it. Well, I'm certainly hoping to see them continue their rise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that does it for news, though. I think we should get into our preview. All right, final stretch. I'm here to bring you up to speed for the Canada Grand Prix. This year, the Formula One Pirelli Grand Prix de Canada 2025. A fun fact, Canada was host to the longest F1 race in history at 4 hours, 4 minutes, and 39 seconds.
Oh, God.
I think I shared this last year, but it's such a good fun fact.
That's crazy.
Imagine a 4-hour race.
Formula One has agreements with like TV sponsorships and things like that, that they need to keep their races
at three hours now.
Yeah, about 2 hours is the preferred, but no longer than three.
Yeah, I think like three is like the limit. They start a countdown timer if we're getting close to three. Yeah. Right, so our starting grid for last year was Russell to Verstappen, Norris to Piastri. It's a wet start, and all cars are on inters, except for the Haas cars, who chose to start in the extreme wets. Lights out, and the top four keep their positions, Russell leading Max in the front of the two McLarens, with a gaggle of other teams following in their overspray.
Gaggle.
A little further down the grid, off the first few turns, Checo makes contact with Gasly, Pierre getting perpendicular to the direction of the track, and Checo bumping his way through, making his way through the grass. Still middle of the lap one, and it seems the extreme wets were the correct choice for the very start of this race. Magnussen making 7 places from where he started, up to 8th before the back straight, 5 places up for his teammate Hülkenberg. Magnussen continues his expert wet run through the next lap, making his way past Hamilton for 6th place, Hülkenberg getting past Leclerc for 10th. At the end of the straight, Magnussen gets up to P5, overtaking Alonso and setting his sights on Piastri next. With more grip than anyone, he reaches Piastri at the hairpin before the straight in lap 3, making his way past the McLaren by the end of the straight. The fun ends for Haas about 5 laps later as the sun is shining and their tires become suboptimal. They pit for inters and get back on track after making over 10 places each. Unfortunately for K-Mag, he is an incredibly slow pit, getting the inters on, knocking off 8.6 seconds while stationary.
Oh, man.
All right, this is a long paragraph. You have to bear with me. We cut to the battle for second between Lando and Verstappen on lap 20. Lando slotted behind Max on the back straight, making his way around the Dutchman before they turn into the starting line. Lando doesn't stop there, and he sets his sights on Russell, overtaking him for first position at the same corner he took Max a lap before. Russell breaks a little too late and has to take the runoff area at that corner. Comes back out on a second behind Norris, now severely under pressure from Max, who overtakes him almost instantly through the starting straight. We cut to four laps later, Piastri thinking about making some similar moves on Russell right as they run into a yellow flag caused by the Williams of Sargent. Turn the wrong way on track after spinning and hitting the barrier. He brings out the safety car before retiring and gives opportunity to Verstappen, Russell, and Piastri to pit, Norris already having passed the pit lane. Norris gets himself in the pit lane on the next lap, but loses a first and second position, doing so, slotting right ahead of his teammate. On Racer Zoom, most everyone pitted for newer enters before the green flag on lap 30, everyone except Charles, who opted to go for the slicks. We watched with bated breath to see if he was too early. He was way too early. Already in 19th, he starts falling further behind, and he ends up retiring at some point between 30 and 45. On lap 45, we watch as the last three cars on enters, Verstappen, Russell, and Norris, in a 1-2-3, go for their pit strategies. Verstappen and Russell box at the end of the straight, but Norris decides to hold out for one lap longer, hoping to get the overcut in the two ahead. At the end of this lap, he pits, and while coming out of the pits, he slips a little bit on his mediums and unfortunately gets beaten out on the undercut by Verstappen. If it were just a little bit drier and his tires were a little bit warmer, Norris sort of perfected the overcut. 49, Lando has a lockup at the hairpin before the straight, giving Russell an opportunity to overtake in the straight, which he makes. Only two laps later, Russell has a moment in the S's mid-track, giving Lando advantage, who takes second position back. Perez brings out the yellow flag a lap or two later after destroying his back wing, limping his way back to the pit. This is when he limped his way back to the pit, got a penalty, came out a couple laps later to serve that penalty, and then went back into the garage.
Yeah.
I hated that. I hated that they were able to do that, but besides the point.
Yep.
Flipping his way back to the pit, just as Sainz loses grip on the same corner as Perez and he spins, collecting Albon by bashing into his back right. Albon unfortunately finding himself embedded into the wall, ending Williams' race as a whole. Both Mercedes opt to pit for brand new medium, sitting in fourth and fifth, the two McLarens and Max leading the pack all on 10 plus lapped tires. Piastri and Russell have a kerfuffle at the end of the back straight, making contact with each other and sending Russell through the runoff again, where he loses position to Hamilton, effectively swapping them. Hamilton has a go at Piastri next lap, and he is able to make the move stick, putting himself in the final podium position. Russell makes the move stick on Piastri a lap or two later. Russell seeks vengeance, and on lap 68, he finds it, overtaking his teammate Hamilton for the final podium position at the end of the race after giving permission to fight. Two laps later, the hectic Canadian Grand Prix ends with Max crossing the line first, followed by Lando and George. Our final 10, Verstappen to Norris, Russell to Hamilton, Piastri to Alonso, Stroll to Ricciardo, Gasly to Ocon.
Crazy.
Yeah, I was not expecting to have to write such a long recap for that race. I do not remember it being that crazy. I completely forgot about the Haas at the start,
who
unfortunately ended 11th and 12th, did not pay off, but you know. But they were still not in a good car at that
probably
point.
Probably would have paid off had they not had an 8-second pit for Kevin.
Yeah.
I remember being getting so excited. God, it was such a roller coaster. I was so excited at the start of that. I was like, holy crap, do you see Kevin Magnussen? Oh, this is amazing. And then it was an 8-second pit, and I was like, I'm taking my hat off. I'm sad. And I just watched them limp home.
Yeah, it was a really good start. It was really fun seeing Haas just like cruise up front. I think we were both cheering a bit, like that was crazy. And then he had that pit and it was all lost. Yeah. We were like, dang it.
It's nice while it lasted.
Right. So let's get into predictions, shall we? And then we'll wrap this baby up. Let me go ahead and pull up our predictions here. I just had to log back in because I got kicked out mid-podcast.
I don't even remember how many points I got over
there. So, this last weekend, two weekends ago rather, Smeltzy once again stumbling into something great. he had a fairly normal podium. He had Oscar, Lando, and George gaining himself 4 points. I had Lando to Oscar to Charles, gaining myself 4 points, and you had Max to Lando to Oscar, gaining yourself 3 points. Which brings us Smeltzy with 25, and then you and I tied 24.
Ooh.
So, because Smeltzy is ahead, however, he is
Tyler,
not
whenever
here.
You're ready.
Kev, do you have his predictions? All right. Let's go ahead and lay them out for the Canada Grand Prix.
In this order, Oscar, Max, George.
Oscar in first, Max in second, George in third. No Lando on the podium.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all.
I guess so.
It smelled to you. Oscar Max George. Okay, yeah. I was gonna say there's no George, and then I was like, oh no, there's the George Russell. Well then.
So yeah, how do we choose who goes next? Should we rock paper scissors?
Do we want to do it fun? We'll each give each other our three.
I'm trying to think. Technically, we both made the same amount of points getting up.
Yeah, so we're tied right now. So we'll go at the same time.
Who's
in third?
We want to say it at the same time.
Not at the same time. So like, you'll do your third. I'll do my second. You'll do your first.
All right, lock in your third.
Is it locked in? Hold on.
This is stupid.
I'm running the calculations in my brain.
My third is locked.
My foresight is crazy right now. Okay, I'm good.
All right, ready?
Okay, third?
Yeah. Who says it first?
I can go first. Okay. I'll just go first.
I'll say it right after you.
Yeah, so okay. My first?
Your third.
Or my third? Max Verstappen.
Yep.
Okay. Well, this is boring.
Yeah, this sucks. I hate this. Why did we do this? All right, I'll say my second and then you'll say your second.
Right.
Ready? I think it's actually going to be different. I think we're going to have the same top two, but I think they're going to be reverse order.
You think so?
Yeah.
Who says I'm going to have a McLaren?
Good one.
Charles Leclerc.
Good one. Second is Oscar Piastri.
Lando Norris.
Yep. So it's going to be, and then your first is. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, okay. Oscar. So mine is Lando, Oscar, Max. Yours is Oscar, Lando, Max.
Yep. Ooh, we're breaking the mold here.
Yeah, it's like, this is just the same.
These McLarens are so good. I will say, I am very interested. Part of me was really, what I was really kicking around is how I brought up earlier the fact that, you know, Montreal is on fire.
Yep.
And there's a lot of talk about dirty air. The entire track is dirty air and how poorly these McLarens handle in dirty air. So that could seriously affect the McLarens.
Granted, yes, it is dirty air. It's not the same kind of dirty air that they experience. I think every car is going to be suffering if they have to drive in it. And I think McLaren will still get on top.
I do too.
Just to, not that I have to defend myself, but Lando was obviously the fastest person last year, and he just got caught out, unfortunately. He got caught out, but he also, it was bad strategy, kind of. It was just tough strategy, I'll say. Yeah. He got caught out by the safety car, and then, you know, he had a, you know, it was a really wet line out, but Lando was obviously fastest. That being said, Oscar's had a crazy year.
Crazy year,
and I could 100% see him getting first instead.
Right. I feel kind of the same. Like, if Lando were to get first, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he's super fast on this track. Yeah. And, like, he showed his pace last year.
I just feel like every time I pick Oscar, it's Lando. And I'm like, I got to get one Lando right, you know?
Yeah, you got to just keep sending Lando, and eventually you'll get it.
Yeah, every single time, I haven't gotten Lando once. I've gotten Oscar a couple times, but every time I put Lando up there, it's always someone different. And then I put Oscar up there, and then it's Lando. And I'm like, well, what are you doing to me?
What are you doing?
Natural order of things, you're right. It was Lando in Monaco. It was Oscar in Spain. It's time for Lando again. It'll probably be Max, but
it'll be Oscar again.
Yeah. All right. So there's our podium. Any final thoughts
I do have one more.
Yeah.
Actually, Kevin, because I don't think you've seen this yet. Kevin, if you can put this up on the screen for us. I totally forgot to bring this up in news. It's Haas's 200th race. And they've got a special livery.
Do they really?
Yeah. And it's a throwback to their first livery, which is so good.
Just go to
there should be the F1 website is. Oh yeah, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. So that is going to be their special livery. They're going back to their original livery and their original style.
Oh yeah.
And it is.
That's good.
It looks so good.
That's good. The big Haas on the side. Yeah, that's very good.
The coloring around the letters and everything. They've got their italicized numbers on the cars and the colors are the same, the silver, black, and kind of like that red-orange kind of color. Yeah,
I'm into it. Oh, man. I'm very much into it.
It looks
Haas's livery now, but I do love when they all mix it up a little bit.
I do, too. And it's really nice to see this livery come back, reminiscent of their first ever race.
They should have done that. What was that energy drink? Should have brought that livery back. The black and gold.
It was a good look.
They kept the livery for a while.